go. Got the old back in the chair, you know, in my chair, not in the producer's chair.
Back in the chair.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
We're back.
We are back. Full-fledged.
With dusty, dusty sweatshirt. Sorry, I had like schmutz. Mm. And schmutz.
Little schmutz.
Little schmutz on my sweatshirt.
Little schmutzy. Yeah, you know.
Wow.
With
new equipment and everything?
New equipment today. I'm very pleased. No producer. But you know what? I don't know. I don't know. Yeah, that whole having a baby thing. You know what I mean?
There are more important things in life than having a child.
Yeah, and prioritizing a child. Can I ask you a question? You know, as a dad, I mean, like, and I know, you know, I mean, you guys had the...
Just kidding, by the way.
By the way, I know, yeah.
No,
with,
of course.
With, you know, as a father, have you ever used your children as an excuse to get out of something?
Of course I have.
What kind of question
me?
Is that?
Dude, right? That's like the main perk of being a dad.
That's true. Amen. Amen.
That and free labor. Yeah.
The free labor. That's the other thing, you know? Amen. Especially as they get older, right? I'm starting to do that. Mine is going to be 10 this year, and so it's, yeah.
Do you have a, that's so funny. Do you have a specific example of when you did that?
Oh,
be honest.
Oh my word. To get
out of something?
There's not one thing in particular that I can think of off the top of my head, because there's probably been many of them, but it's
just a way of life now.
It's a way of life. It's like, not that it whatever, but like, as I mean, oftentimes, as a matter of fact, I kind of, you know, there is oftentimes, though, it's not
parents
just
out there. Don't judge us.
Don't judge us. You know, you know.
Do it too.
You do it too.
Sorry.
Exactly. You know. But this is the thing. It's like
I can feel the judgment already.
They're already like, oh, how dare they? It's like, you know, and yeah, but yeah, no, I can't think of a particular instance. But I think, but the thing is, this is, it's not a lie, because oftentimes it's like,
no, it's not a lie.
It's not a lie, you know, or a deception or anything like that. But. It's like, even like being a parent is tough.
It is.
And especially, you know, on our wives especially. And so it's like, you know, so like oftentimes, like this past week, I had an evening meeting, you know what I mean? And Sarah was having a rough day with the kids. And I just basically said, look, I need to give my wife a break. And so I'm going to go home and I'm going to watch the kids. So that was kind of a kid excuse, you know what I mean, for getting out of something. But I think it was legitimate, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
I'm not.
Yeah, I'm not judging you.
Okay, it's like, I didn't mean for it to come
sure,
out.
Sure, sure, Pastor Tim. Yeah, yeah,
I swear, I didn't mean for it to come out sounding that sarcastic.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, sure.
No, I get it. And you know, it's funny too, because like you have obviously families who have one child, and look, having one child is hard enough.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
But when you start getting into the multiple children range.
Multiples range,
especially when they start to outnumber you.
Oh, yeah.
That can be a tiring task just in maintenance.
Just.
You know what I mean?
Knowing where they all are.
Keeping
you know what
them
I mean?
Alive. Keeping them alive. Becomes a task. No,
children.
I'm not judging, although it sounded like I did there. But
I wouldn't blame you if you judged, because, you know, and I'm not going to say that I have not used them as an excuse in maybe ways that I shouldn't have, you know what I mean? Because I'll be honest, like, there's times where it's like, you know what, I'm, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't want to get into all of it, but I mean, on the other end of the spectrum, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm above board in my excuse using of my children, because I'm not, and no parent is, okay?
Yeah, let's be real here.
Let's just all be real.
Just don't lie to yourself.
Don't lie to yourself.
Be honest.
That's right.
Be real.
Be real. Yes.
Look inside and see the
deep
truth
down
is
inside.
What we're saying. Okay?
That's right.
All you dads out there, you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
You all should be amening us. You know? Amen. You know.
So but enough with the judgment.
No more judgments. You know. Judge not, lest ye be judged. the biggest verse in scripture taken out of context.
I was gonna say.
Besides Philippians 4:13.
I can do all things through a verse taken out of
that's
context.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right.
Should put that up there somewhere, you
know
what I mean?
That's it's so good. It's so good. Well, let's move into the episode. Intro time.
Hey. Yeah, all right.
And
amen.
We're back.
Yeah.
Hey,
that's right. Hey.
Guys, right. Welcome welcome to the Gospelicious Radio. My name is Adam Miner, and with me, as always, is my brother, my friend, my pastor. He's also the Reverend. Timothy R. Howard Jr., everybody.
Oh, yay. Giddy up, buddy. Thank you, my man. And thank you, brother Adam. And missed, again, I got to give Adam a round of applause because I did miss him last week. And I miss when we don't do Gospelicious. And it was, and I know last week was one of those things. It was again, one of these like perfect storm weeks because we had planned to do a Zoom one.
Yep.
But you were down in Florida.
Yeah, I was away for work and just couldn't make it work, man.
Yeah.
Just couldn't make it work. Sometimes the schedules just don't match
up. Don't line up, and it was like, and then last week was just a monster of a pastoral week for me.
I go away for 1 week and your schedule just falls apart.
I know it does. You know, it does. And it's, it was funny because even this past week, because like, we're not recording on our normal day. We're recording later in the week. Yeah, and normally we'd have our beautiful screenshots, or not screenshots, but what are they called? We normally do our the headshot that we do every week that you post, the video shot that we do. Why am I forgetting?
What?
Is this why?
What are you talking about?
We take a. I don't know. You know, not the screenshot.
Thumbnail.
The thumbnail. That's the word I was looking for. Normally we'd have that beautiful thumbnail that you make every week already out on our social media.
Yes, it's
not, and that's partly because, but.
I didn't know what you're talking
about. I know. I had no clue either. I have not, you know. Listen, you know, And so, yeah, this is my decaf coffee of the day, so my brain is not functioning properly. But the, so this past Tuesday, we didn't record. We normally record on Tuesdays, put it out on Fridays. And, duty calls sometimes.
Hey, you know, and that's just the life of...
ministry life.
Guys who work in ministry, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what happens, guys.
You're in the same boat, my man.
Yeah,
you know,
man.
Same boat.
You know, it's sometimes there's just busy seasons, and we try to fit it in when we can. And you know, this is, I always try to remind people, this is not a full time job, guys.
Nope.
This is something we do on the side.
That's right.
When there's time.
That's right.
And so, but we love to do it.
Yes, we do.
And we're back for the 84th.
84th time. Amen.
Guys, I you know, we are kind of in the rear view. I should say this is in the rearview mirror.
Oh, yeah. The Hymn Hysteria, which was great.
Hymn Hysteria. Guys, we just did 4 weeks, a month of Hymn Hysteria.
Wow.
And it was a whirlwind.
It was awesome.
I wish I had some sort of highlights package to give you here, but guys, And Can It Be?
And Can It Be was the winner.
Is an all-timer.
Well-earned.
Well-earned. And it,
very well-earned.
It overcame much competition.
I know it.
And it was a rather, I mean, I guess not really a surprising result, but man, there were some songs that...
It really was eye-opening. It was an eye-opening experience going through all of these. You really did. You broke them down well with the brackets.
Oh,
and and I think, it was eye-opening kind of going through and analyze. I'd never really done anything like that before. I mean, sometimes you analyze a particular song, but to compare one against the next... with their theology and their singability and what was the third category?
Was it catchiness?
Catchiness, right. Yeah. You know, I mean those kind of categories, I mean it was tough. You know what I mean? So
But it was fun.
It was fun. It was a lot
it was
of fun.
Fun. And,
I enjoyed it.
It actually became a little bit more spread out than I originally thought it would be. I didn't think it would take one whole episode, 2 hours per region. But man, those were some beefy episodes.
Beefy episodes. I know. Probably not quite as beefy today.
Probably not. But I hope not.
I hope not. Maybe. Maybe it depends.
I never know
with the GR. You know what I mean? But
you get you and I together, we can talk for a long time.
That's right.
But that's kind of why we do a pod, because we can...
we can sit and chat. You know
right.
what I mean? That's what it's all about.
That's right.
And, but it was great.
We're all, you know, I'm already thinking about ideas for next year if we do some sort of Hymn Hysteria or do something else hysteria.
Maybe
I don't know.
Some kind of bracket March Madness kind of thing. You know what I mean?
What do you think would be a good thing to put in a bracket like that?
Well, you know, it'd be kind of neat. And I don't... We should do... I was thinking...
Heresy Hysteria?
Heresy Hysteria. That would be good. Get all the heretics. There's plenty of them out there.
We could crown the worst heretic in the world. That'd be hilarious.
Yeah, put like Benny Hinn up against, Charles Finney or one of these other guys, you know, Joel Alstein, you know, against,
All right, let me ask you this. If we did that, and I'm just flying off the cuff.
Yeah, all right.
If we did a Heresy Hysteria.
Heresy Hysteria.
Heretic Hysteria?
Heretic Hysteria, yeah.
That's amazing.
That would
be awesome. Have to work on that. We have to do that.
Oh man, that'd be kind of rough, but yeah, it'd
be a little bit more research on our part because we have to come up with some like specific quotes.
Yeah. Who do you think would be the number ones?
That is so hard.
It's almost like a Mount Rushmore of heretics.
Right. I mean, like when I think of heretics,
like
popular mainstream, man. I mean, I think of I already named a couple of them. You got Benny Hinn, and you got Joel Alstein. You got Kenneth Copeland, he's one of them.
Good one.
You got Joyce Meyer. I think Beth Moore is up there as well. There's some toughies. You got T.D. Jakes.
Creflo?
Creflo Dollar. He'd be up there too.
You think so?
I find it so funny with him being a prosperity preacher.
His name is literally Dollar.
It's like
he's just obvious at that.
It's just obvious at that point. But they get there.
That'd be like
being named.
Yeah. Like the heresy that you're purporting. Like
right. You know.
Yes. My name is Jonathan Liar. Like what?
Yeah. You know. That's. You know,
Joseph,
money stealer. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know, that's right.
Joseph Prosper.
Yeah.
Like you're literally named after the wrong theology that you talk about.
That's right.
Jonathan Prosper.
Be like a Pilgrim's Progress of worldly wise man.
On the nose naming. That's so funny. We're reading through Pilgrim's Progress right now with the kids and.
Yeah.
We're going very slow.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And so Aaron is just fascinated by the names of these characters because they're so obvious. Like, worldly wise man, I wonder what he's going to do.
Like, I wonder.
Or what's the one traveling or talkative?
Talkative, right. I was just thinking that.
So when
the
that,
flatterer.
The flatterer, yeah. So when talkative came about, Aaron immediately stopped me and said, I wonder what he's going to do.
Like, he's going to be pretty quiet, isn't he?
Yeah, quiet. Yeah. He's just going to sit there and not say a word, huh? I'm like, Aaron, you know what's going to happen right now.
You know exactly. What,
it's like five pages of like a huge monologue.
Monologue speech of, you know.
And then he goes like, oh, look at that. Yeah. Talkative is talking.
He's talking. He's
doing a lot of talking right now. I'm like, Aaron. Yes.
I know. It's like,
he's on the nose.
And it's like even like the city of destruction and Vanity Fair, you know, but with the heretic hysteria though, that would be something. We'd have to think through it.
Heretic hysteria.
That's kind of not
that might be really fun.
Not segueing, but that's kind of what our topic is about kind of heresy today and some heretics, right?
An unintended segue. Look at you.
I know. Look at that.
With your segues.
I know. You see that? I always try to segue it all in there.
It's like you didn't miss a beat.
It is. You know what I mean?
Welcome back, brother.
I know. Yes.
Welcome back.
Ooh, yeah. Ooh, yeah, brother.
That's
cream of the crop. You know, but no,
that's the Mega Powers handshake.
That's right.
There.
You know, they.
Speaking of which, is this the first time that the viewers, if you're watching, have seen the new Hogan?
Oh yeah, Funko? We didn't point that out last time. He was up there last time.
Let's put it for now.
Yeah. We can put him down
for
front
now, for now. Let's
put him in the place of honor. Right there, he is.
The place
there,
of
brother.
Honor.
I know. We were just talking.
Tell you something, brother.
Yeah, you know.
So, yeah, we're
brother in Christ.
He's a brother in Christ.
That's right.
Got baptized a few months ago.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Mr. Hogan.
We do have to get his brother. We were just talking before we started recording. We gotta get some Macho Man representation here. You know what I mean? Which by the way, I was just telling Adam is that I found this Hulk Hogan here. We got a lot of Hulk Hogan representation here.
We do.
This is Hollywood Hogan though, right?
NWO Hollywood Hogan.
That's right.
That's from his WCW run.
That's right. That's right.
When he became a bad guy.
That's right.
Or a heel, as they say in wrestling parlance. A heel.
He became
hated.
Yeah.
So hated, in fact, if you look at his championship belt there, he took a can of black spray paint and spray painted NWO on the prestigious.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
On the prestigious WCW title.
Oh, man.
It was quite. I mean, you know, as a kid growing up, I make no bones about it. I keep it. It's not even a secret.
Right.
I watched wrestling when I was a kid. I loved it when I was a kid. So like stuff like this was like unthinkable.
That's right.
Blow your mind. He's the title. What? It was just like so ridiculous, but so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, you know, he's a blonde guy, right?
Yeah.
So like this old.
Yeah, with the old Hulk Hogan, old the Hogan, yellow, right?
Blonde hair, like his hairline's like on the top of his head.
Right.
That's why he wore the bandana, by the way.
That's right, because he would get bald.
Yep. But he was all blonde, right?
Yeah.
So when he became a bad guy, you see what he did? He kept the blonde mustache, but he blackened. He dyed his
the bottom of the beard
shadow rubble. So like,
yeah,
he just looked evil with the black. Obviously dyed. And so
that's amazing.
Yeah, he just looked like the just like a ruffian.
Was Macho Man already out of the picture by the time he was so, yeah?
No, he actually was in.
Maybe I'm forgetting my.
He was in WCW wrestling with Hogan at that time.
Was he really?
He
okay.
Was. Yeah, but he actually at one point, I'm pretty sure he became part of the NWO.
Oh, did he really?
Randy did. Yeah.
Oh man,
there's stuff of him wearing the NWO garb and all that, but it was his WCW run was nothing like his. WWF run at the
No, not at all.
With all the hats and glasses and the robes and stuff.
Which, by the way, I think I already told you this, but every year for Vacation Bible School, Adam and I and Matt, we kind of run Vacation Bible School every year, and we're kind
of
the upfront guys. And so one of the things I do every year is I'll dress like the first night in the theme. You know what I mean? Like this year is like a safari theme, but then the rest of the week I come dressed as
falls apart after that.
It all falls apart. I come dressed as like all kinds of random things.
Yeah.
And so but I actually did order a Macho Man costume this year. So yeah, he will be making an appearance this year. So
the kids are gonna be like, what in the world is that?
I know,
I have no idea.
It was like
you know what it's gonna do?
Yeah, what is that?
It's gonna make us laugh.
It is. And that's what it's all about. It's like when I showed up because remember last year was cowboy theme, and so I dressed like a cowboy the first night, and then like I think it was the second night I still dressed like a cowboy, but I went more redneck. And remember, I shaved my beard, and I just left the big mustache going down like Hulk,
the Fu Manchu.
The Fu Manchu, yeah,
the Hulk Hogan Fu Manchu.
Yep. And there's pictures floating around on the internet of that, you know. Yep.
I think everyone said never do that again.
No, they did, and including my wife, which is why it was gone that same night, you know. And so yeah,
that was the funniest thing.
Yeah,
I remember that. Yeah, because it was like I saw you, I think it was later that night, and it was already gone.
It was gone. Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, when did you shave that?
Oh, yeah,
like,
I went home.
I just did.
I just did. It was gone. It was, she said, you're not keeping that. And
that same day.
Yeah.
Guys.
Yeah, it was gone.
You need to understand. when the wife
when she says,
tells you that,
mm-hmm.
not only, because I have to believe that there's some sort of urgency.
Yeah.
Because.
Yeah, there was.
She could tell you something like that and be like, just shave it tomorrow or whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever. Just make it go away. But she told you in a way that told you, you need to handle this right now.
Right now. And that was really what it was. She did not like it. And my wife is a very, very patient woman, far more patient than what I deserve. And she puts up with a lot, obviously being married to me. And so when she tells me, when she gives me an order like that,
that's a yes, ma'am.
That's a yes, ma'am. You don't fight with that.
Yeah, that would not have worked out well for you.
No, not at all. I might not have made it to the rest of VBS if I didn't do that. Yeah, that was early in the week too. That was like Tuesday. Yeah, yeah, right.
Oh man, like three full nights to go.
That's right, and so Macho Man will be. But by the way, Macho Man will be making another appearance here because I did. I was just telling Adam, I bought this because it was on. I found it at Burlington Coat Factory of all places. And it was on sale, but I was looking, and they had Million Dollar Man, they had I forget, they had a couple other guys I didn't recognize.
Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, and
I remember him. Everybody's got a price.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes, that was amazing. They didn't have Macho Man, and so I went and I looked it up online. I ordered it so soon. Macho Man will be up there to join Hollywood Hulk Hogan. So
Ooh, yeah. Whenever someone just name drops Macho Man, there's that just there's an urge that just
you just
wants
gotta
to
say it, you know.
Dig it, you know.
Dig it. Snap into a Slim Jim.
That's right. But yeah, we're also I am actively in the market.
Another Funko.
If anyone's out there and who has a Macho Man Funko.
That's the thing.
We're gonna add the Macho Man so that they can be brothers.
Brothers. You know, that's
Mega
right.
Powers Unite.
That's right. That'll
Mega
be good.
Mega Powers Unite.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. Yeah.
That's right. you know,
as all our as all our equipment just starts.
I know, crazy. Just going crazy. But
for all of your audio listeners, I apologize that we were doing a handshake. Okay, we weren't.
Yes,
just
we were. We were doing the brother handshake here. You know, the power handshake.
Yes,
but
mega powers. Mega powers unite.
That's right. Amen. All right.
Anyway.
I know I segued us, and then I segued us back onto other things.
Yes.
But
it was a perfect segue that got derailed.
That's all right.
But
that's
okay.
That's all part of GR.
Here's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, go ahead there,
so
my man.
So we have, I love catching up with you.
Yeah.
But we wanted to draw your attention this week to a current event, if you will. I suppose at this point, by the time this comes out, it's somewhat still current. I mean, this happened maybe last week.
We were going to cover it last week. Yeah. No, it was last week. Yeah. Or maybe 2 weeks ago. Maybe it was.
At this point, maybe about 2 weeks ago.
Right. That's true. I'm getting my dates.
Because we're talking about end of April now. So this happened, I think, around the beginning of April.
Right.
So if you could talk a little bit about what happened, and then I'll just chime in.
Right. So a couple different things. We want to discuss the whole Mark Driscoll, John Lindell situation, I guess, incident that happened at what was known as the Stronger Men's Conference.
Yes.
A couple different things is that we're not going to bring up any video of this or anything like that because we're having some technical difficulties if you haven't noticed the last couple episodes, but besides that, even if we weren't having technical difficulties, I still wouldn't bring up the video, because really what we want to discuss here is an incident that happened during this Stronger Men's Conference. Again, this is a men's conference wherein during the men's conference they had a.
This is that basically? Sorry,
yeah, please.
Sorry
yeah.
to interrupt you. This is at James River Church.
Yes.
In Missouri.
Yes.
Okay, and they host this annual. Is it annual?
I think it's annual. Yeah.
Yeah. The Stronger Men's Conference.
Stronger Men's
so
Conference.
So we're talking about in Missouri. Okay, go ahead.
And you know, just a little bit of background on James River Church and John Lindell. I mean, they're very much a part of more what we would deem charismatic circles, mainstream evangelical charismatic circles, which giving a little bit of background, we'll talk about Mark Driscoll in just a second, but so really not the kind of churches that we as, you know, Reformed Baptists would partner with. This would not be a conference that I would ever recommend just in general besides this incident happening. Just because theologically they are just so off base. So what we're talking about here is kind of more widespread Christianity, mainstream evangelicalism, kind of not really clear on their doctrine at all, and more very much feelings based, very influenced by the culture, very seeker sensitive. So this conference would be a very large, very very large, thousands of men attending this Stronger Men's Conference, and. And as part of that kind of seeker sensitivity, they have a lot of entertainment at these kind of events. It's not just preaching. Like when you and I went to G3 a couple years ago, remember we did a little thing at G3. Did we do a GR at G3?
We did a teaser.
At G3,
we didn't do an actual episode. This would have been in our, the as I call it, the first era.
Right, the first era, yeah. Yeah, episode one.
We did film a little snippet there. With
yes.
the G3 backdrop, just teasing our reaction to the conference later when we got back. But
right,
we didn't film a full episode.
We should.
That would have been fun.
Well, I think we're because actually in 2025 they're going to be doing G3 again, and I know we've been talking about going again, and Lord willing we can all go again. And I kind of have an idea of how I want to do an episode there. So we won't bring all of our equipment, but I have I have an idea how we're going to do it. Oh yeah, I haven't discussed it with you yet, but you know, that's right. Yeah. But so whereas G3 would be really G3 is all about the preaching. It's all about God's
that's
word.
That's their main event.
That's the main event.
Yeah, you and go. It should be. Yeah,
you go there to hear good preaching
and the books.
Yeah, and the tremendous books that are there.
Tremendous.
I mean, amazing.
The best books.
And good deals, too. There's a lot of good deals there.
There are.
You know,
and freebies.
A lot of freebies you can get.
Bring an extra bag, guys.
That's right. You know,
bring an extra bag. And fly Southwest so you can get that extra bag and not have to pay for it.
That's right. You know, and although we did do the van, and that van was, and there was like how many guys? Like six or seven guys, yeah. And all with those books. I mean, that was heavy weight in that van coming back. But the I think we're talking about doing the van again. Or at least there's a couple of guys that want to come with us, want to do the van again. So I'm kind of like
for G3.
Yeah, I'm remember it was in January when we went.
Yeah.
This time it's going to be in September, yeah. So I'll be a little because traveling in January is a pain because of snow and everything. And the fog going down. Oh. The fog was horrible.
I drove that shift.
Yes, you did.
I did the midnight to six shift. And we drove overnight, guys. I can't believe that.
Yeah, that was a crazy
trip. A little harder now to do that than it was then.
Even a couple years ago. Four years ago.
But that was getting down there would be, honestly, I mean, I get the feeling it would probably be a little less expensive to drive.
Oh, yeah. Which I'm all for. And also you get the fellowship.
Yeah, the
fellowship. And so whereas like you get on a plane, you
this
just
time,
put
though,
your... Yeah, yeah.
Let's stay at a hotel.
We're going to stay at a hotel halfway. You know what I mean? That's what we're going to do. We'll just make it a two-day drive. We'll go down and stay in Virginia. No.
Okay.
No, we're not doing it all in one shot this time. No.
Yeah.
And but the whole point of going there is the preaching and the books, okay? Because we want to learn more about God's word. Whereas at a conference like this.
And there's worship, too.
There's worship. And by the way, it's going to be hard to top what we saw at G3 when we had the Gettys and Sovereign Grace and Matt Boswell and Papa. All three of them were all there at that time.
Sovereign Grace as your house band. Brother, you got yourself something special there.
Brother, yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
And the Gettys opened up the conference. That was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
That was special.
It was a very, 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 very special.
Yeah.
And
we're kind of contrasting what a biblical conference is,
right,
as compared to, say, a more charismatic conference, right?
Yeah. And whereas this particular conference.
Stronger
men's conference.
Okay.
Again, it's for men, of course. G3 is, it's a lot of men that are there, but it's open to ladies and families as well. But this is a men's conference. It's more, like a lot of these conferences are focused on the entertainment factor, okay?
Mm.
I think that may be done. Maybe I'm giving them more of a benefit of the doubt than I should, more from like a seeker-sensitive kind of perspective of trying to reach men for Christ.
For those who may not know that term, seeker sensitive, could you just explain what seeker sensitive means?
Yeah, it's just the idea of those who might be quote unquote seekers, those who might be seeking the truth, seeking after the gospel ultimately, and so they are sensitive to those seekers, and therefore they. They try to come up with what I would call very, very pragmatic, entertainment-focused ways in order to
get their butts in the door.
Get them in the door in order to do it. Now, the problem with this is that with that kind of ministry, that particular kind of ministry style is that, again, what you draw them with is what you need to keep them with, unfortunately.
Mm, mm, mm.
And so what happens is that when you're into this seeker-sensitive kind of thing where it's entertainment-focused, you kind of have to up the ante little by little every single time. Whereas if you just keep it preaching the word and you keep it, about the truths of the gospel, you're going to have, I would argue, far more genuine conversions.
Sure.
As opposed to just people who are there for... it's kind of like the only analogy I can think about, a biblical analogy, is kind of like when Jesus did the, when he turned the loaves and the fishes, fed the 5,000, and many of them turned away when the loaves and fishes ran out. You know what I mean? When Jesus said,
they were there for what he could do. They weren't there for him.
For him, right?
Right.
And I think that's the main difference between a conference like this, John Lindell conference, and a G3 conference. Whereas G3, you're there. If you're going to G3, you're there, like we said before, because you're about the gospel, and you're gonna. And even if you're not a Christian going to this, you're gonna hear the gospel every single session. You're gonna hear about the authority of God's word. You're gonna hear about all these different things. Whereas at a conference like this, the gospel might be mixed in there. Maybe I even semi kind of doubt that, given their theology, which is one of my main issues. Yeah. But so with the seeker sensitive, you see that come out in this Stronger Men's Conference with a variety of basically like entertaining acts that they had during this conference to kind of wow the men that are there, and so where this particular conference gained notoriety and gained controversy was after they had a professional sword swallower, like the actual like a sword. Guy's name was Alex Magala. I'm getting some of my information just so that everybody knows from the Christian Post article. Mm-hmm. Title of it is Pastor John Lindell apologizing for inviting Alex Magala, Mark Driscoll to men's conference. Okay, which was put out on the 22nd. Which there's actually been more news since then. But so they had this sword swallower, who, when you study his background, supposedly he became a born again Christian, but before he became a Christian, he was an open male stripper and prostitute, and he would perform at, you know, homosexual parties as well as, you know, female, you know, whatever, and you know, do all of the debauchery that goes along with all of that. And but he also was known, and he's actually been on TV, this Alex Magala, apparently, for his sword swallowing, you know, a very dangerous kind of sideshow kind of act that you'd see at a circus or something along those lines. And so he did this sword swallowing act, but as a part of it, he got on the stage, and this is the reason why I don't want to show the video at all, even if we had the capability, because he got on the stage. He very kind of, the only way that I could kind of describe it is erotically, ripped off his shirt, which at a men's conference, and took the sword and licked the sword before. And then also there was another thing, too, is that there was a pole, kind of like a what was equated to in the rebuke that we're going to talk about, a stripper pole, where the guy was, a dancer would go and whatever, you know what I mean, and dance on the pole. And this guy did a dance kind of like what, again, I, you know, whatever, very erotic, very sexual in nature, licked the sword, you know, with all these sexual undertones, with a shirt ripped off, and then performed. And so that's what happened. And so what you then happened after that was you had Pastor Mark Driscoll, who was one of the keynote speakers at this conference. Now, a little bit about Pastor Mark Driscoll. Pastor Mark Driscoll was the pastor of Mars Hill Church, which was out west, I believe, in the, correct me if I'm wrong, off the top of my head, in the Oregon area, I believe. I got to confirm that really quick. But he also was the founder of what was known as the Acts 29 church network back in the day. Let me just, I'm just going to bring up some information on here just so that I don't get wrong here. But yeah, he was, Washington State. I'm sorry, I said Oregon, but Washington State. Very, very large church. He started this Acts 29 network, and he would have been considered at that point in his career on the Reformed side of things. Okay, he was considered part of what was known as the Young Restless Reformed group. Guys like Matt Chandler had him at his conferences. Other young guys at that particular time. Driscoll was one of those guys that I actually have a couple of his books in my library. And he was known for his very kind of, not abrasive, but very poignant preaching style, okay? Very, very, he would preach through a text. I actually enjoyed listening to him, actually, to be honest with you. That is until he became known for what he was known for at that time anyways, and that is the cursing preacher. In order to be, again, this is, and I think it's a form of that entertainment kind of drawing people in. I mean, he would have credited it as being just raw and gritty and real with his people. I would just say...
Sounds like an excuse to me, but go ahead.
100%. Yep. I agree with you. And he would get up and, in his passion, would curse during his sermons, and in order to make his point. And that was when I kind of was like, okay, there's something wrong here. And I stopped listening to him because I just, you know, it's not good. And so,
apparently he never read Ephesians 4.
Apparently not. Okay. Apparently not. You know what I mean?
Let no unwholesome talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, like, yeah. And so, now, this is the thing, though, is, like, you would agree with a lot of the stuff that Driscoll held to. I mean, he was a big-time promoter of complementarianism, gender roles. Even today, if you listen to some of his stuff today, I mean, we would amen a lot of what he says. But where he ended up getting into controversy was he couldn't keep his anger intact. He couldn't keep his passion intact. And basically, apparently, from what has been recorded, he ran his church and the Acts 29 network like an empire, and basically demeaned people and really made it not a very good situation, to the point where his leadership basically ousted him at the church at Mars Hill. And then eventually they removed him from, you know, whatever the president or whatever the CEO position with Acts 29. He went off the scene for a few years after. Well, that and combined with a basically some kind of money-making scheme with his, well, you know, I'm picking up here on Wikipedia on him, you know, when all else fails, go to Wikipedia, right? you know.
Take the information for what it's worth.
For what it's worth here, you know what I mean? He says, in the summer of 2014, Driscoll faced public criticism and formal complaints from Mars Hill staff members and congregants due to alleged abusive behavior. And they
is
have
that,
a,
is that
yeah.
linked? Because sometimes it Wikipedia is. Will link to an actual story.
It is
that.
The rise and fall of Mars Hill Church in the Seattle Times.
Okay. Right. I just want to make sure that there's an actual source to that.
Yeah, there
we're
is.
Not, we're not just throwing out
information. Yeah, so they have that.
Cool.
And then in August, it goes on to say, in August of 2014, the board of Acts 29 Network removed him from its membership and urged him to step down from ministry. Again, citations from the New York Times, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And then October 14, 2014, Driscoll resigned from Mars Hill Church. Again, citations from the Seattle Times and from Religion News Services. Within 3 months of Driscoll's resignation, Mars Hill Church was dissolved, leaving each church campus, because it was a multi-church campus, to either close or become autonomous. And again, they have a citation for that. Mega Church melts down back in 2014.
The Atlantic.
The Atlantic.
Yep.
And then it says here, since then, Mark Driscoll was the subject of popular podcasts called The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill, it says.
The subject, okay, so he didn't do the podcast. It sounds like it was a
podcast about
him.
Okay, all right, yeah, that makes
sense. He's the subject, so I doubt he would want to be like, oh, yeah, let's talk about the rise and fall of my former church.
Right.
Like that,
right,
probably,
yeah, I don't want to talk about that, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right, right. Oh, okay, it was a podcast hosted by Mike Cosper and produced by Christianity.
Ah, okay, all right.
So, there you go. So
it's funny because then Wikipedia brings up just again, I'm trying to give a little bit of background on Mark Driscoll here.
You want to understand where he's coming from, right? And he did what he did. Yeah.
There's a little article under the Wikipedia again that says hiatus from ministry. On August 24th, 2014, Driscoll announced he would take a 6-week, quote, extended focus break from his pastorship while charges against him were investigated. And then there's a citation there, which is from Christianity Today. Mark Driscoll steps down while Mars Hill investigates charges. Mm. Later that week, a letter signed by 9 current Mars Hill pastors, which severely criticized Driscoll, was leaked to the public. The letter, written days before Driscoll stepped down, urged him to step down from all aspects of ministry. It included a quote from internationally recognized author, pastor, and former BOAA member Paul Tripp, which, by the way, Paul Tripp's a good guy. He's Paul David Tripp. He writes a lot about he's a pastor and writes a lot about family issues and stuff like that. He's the guy with the mustache and the big glasses. I don't know if you look up a picture of him, but Paul Tripp says, and he was associated with Acts 29. He says, this is without a doubt the most abusive. This is a quote: the most abusive, coercive ministry culture I've ever been involved with.
Whoa.
And that's strong words coming from
it is.
Him.
It is.
And there's a citation there from Religion News Services from August 28th, 2014. One of the pastors who signed the letter was fired 5 days later for, quote, rebellion against the church.
Oh, man, this is you see what I'm talking? Yeah.
Yeah. By September 9th, 8 of the 9 pastors who signed the letter had resigned or had been terminated, including this director, Dustin Kensrue. The last of the 9 pastors was demoted from pastor to lay elder. So you can just see, and you can you can all read more on that. But basically, he kind of, after all of this and after things kind of fell apart for him, he went off the scene for many, many years. You didn't really hear much about him really until the last couple of years when, at least from what I can tell personally, is that he started to kind of, I know he started a new church, I believe down in, let me just see where his new church is. I forget where it is. I know it's in kind of the Four Corners area down there in the country. And again, I forget exactly where he's at, but let me just see here. I'm looking here, but it's a new church. He's a pastor of a new church now.
Yeah.
And he's kind of popped up more on platforms like TikTok and more of like the short clip kind of social medias where they just take clips of the sermons and kind of pop them in there. Mostly talking about, if you find Mark Driscoll on TikTok, and he does come up on mine, you know, he'll come up with a lot of things that I would amen, a lot of things that I would agree with. Just he talks a lot about the lack of masculinity in the culture. But I think what he's trying to do is, I think he's trying to make himself out to be kind of like the, we've never really talked about him on the pod, but Andrew Tate, you know, Andrew Tate.
Remind me.
Andrew Tate is, he's kind of in the TikTok, YouTube world,
okay,
of being this ultra, he's a Muslim, and he's kind of like an ultra-masculine kind of just open chauvinist kind of, okay, unbiblical kind of man, where he's basically like any guy, he's all about, you know, womanizing women and how men, real men, should be sleeping around with as many women as possible, and you know, earning as much money as possible, and just a real chauvinist,
just carnal,
like, yeah, to be a man should be like, you know, you should just be a real real nasty, you know what I mean? And yeah, and but Driscoll seems
sounds
to
like
be
demeaning to women
very much, yeah, very much, and
which is, by the way, not biblical, but go ahead.
Unbiblical, but it's to, yeah, be understood especially from a Muslim,
sure,
background. But Mark Driscoll seems like he's kind of trying to be Andrew Tate light in many ways, and okay, or from a Christian perspective, and so a lot of the stuff I would agree with, in the sense that, like, the attacks on masculinity and all of these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And how men have been feminized, and how, you know, he talks a lot about the rise of the LGBT movement and the dangers of that. He talks a lot about, you know, the importance of educating your children yourself, and, you know, I mean, those kind of things, and homeschool. I mean, a lot of things that Christians, especially conservative, even reform folks, we would all be like, true, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But the problem is the attitude and also the background. Since Mars Hill, again, I told you he was kind of more in the reformed world at that time, he's since openly renounced Calvinism, and you can look that up, but he's basically said Calvinism is a bunch of bunk, basically, and has kind of gravitated himself towards this other branch of mainstream evangelicalism, this more charismatic kind of sect, almost the I don't want to call him the New Apostolic Reformation, but that's kind of the circles that John Lindell kind of, you know, is a part of, so much so that actually he also made the news around that time for actually going, this was back in like 2014 or 13, when John MacArthur at his church was having what was known as the Strange Fire Conference, where he was, you know, John MacArthur is not charismatic.
No. He's written books against that.
Yes. Yeah. I think
Charismatic Chaos,
yep, and Strange Fire, those,
yes,
two books.
Strange Fire, yeah, yeah.
They're great books.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that we can have a discussion about charismaticism another, you know, another time, when we should, because, yeah, I think we've not covered that one.
No.
But I think MacArthur, if I was to balance out, I think he's a little extreme in both of those books. I think he's painting with too wide of a brush. I agree with him probably about 90% of what he says, but anyway, we can get into that another time.
Yeah.
But but he was, they were holding a Strange Fire conference, and Mark Driscoll actually showed up and was like protesting outside of it, you know, trying to start trouble, and he had to be ejected from the campus of Grace Community Church in California.
This guy almost seems like the Christianized version of Alex Jones. Or
oh, very much. Like, just crazy.
He gives me Alex Jones vibes.
Very much.
Yeah.
He just, Mark Driscoll,
interesting. Yeah.
He's just a crazy, crazy person. And again, we would agree with probably a lot of what he said. Even, you know, I mean, not going down that road. But so, long story longer, he ends up being invited to this Stronger Men's Conference.
Yep.
And it gets to be his turn. This is after the Alex Magala stripper sword swallower incident, okay? And, you know, whatever. And he basically gets up and rebukes them for having this kind of erotic, you know, or at least
seemingly,
subtle,
seemingly erotic tones to it.
Tones to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, referring
it
to
could
it
be
as
interpreted as such,
right? Yeah. Referring to it as a spirit of Jezebel.
So Driscoll called Magala. He called
the
him
incident.
Out. He called him having a spirit of Jezebel.
Well, he's saying that the conference has a spirit of Jezebel because yeah.
Okay,
and,
gotcha. Yep.
And so while he's talking and he's making his points about this, basically
right.
he's saying that there's demonic activity going on, which is another thing that he's really into is which I don't necessarily disagree with him on about the demonic activity,
yeah.
but he was basically saying that was, and during this, while he's speaking, you have John Lindell, the pastor of this James River Church, speak up from the crowd and says, "You're done, Mark. You're done. Get off the stage." And Mark Driscoll basically turned around and said, "Okay, yeah, you know, that's fine." And he walked off the stage with, and if you watch the video, you can look it up on your own. Again, we're not going to show it, but you know, basically you had a bunch of guys in the crowd, you know, booing and hissing about the fact that he walked off the stage. So fast forward a little bit. Immediately after that, John Lindell gets on the stage and basically is trying to calm the crowd down and basically saying he called out Matthew 18 and basically saying that if he had a problem with this, he should have come to me in private about it instead of voicing his opinion in front of the crowd here. Which is funny that he's citing Matthew 18, a guy that's not really a biblical preacher. Now all of a sudden you're going to cite the scripture, which is kind of where the dynamics of this are kind of crazy. And so,
yeah.
And so that died down. And so I guess later that same day at the same conference, they called Lindell, had Driscoll come out once again, and they sat down and they had a discussion where it seemed like they had buried the hatchet, so to speak, okay, where it was like, you know, I've taken what he has to say, and he's taken what I have to say, and they counted each other as brother in Christ, and this kind of thing, and it seemed like it was all settled. Well,
kiss and make up.
Yeah, but since then, which is what we're reading about here in the Christian Post article, you know, he apologizes for inviting Alex Magala and Mark Driscoll to the men's conference, and basically what it was, and again, I'm reading from this Christian Post article. He says, I'll read part of it here. It says, Pastor John Lindell of the James River Church in Missouri apologized to his congregation Sunday for inviting professional sword swallower Alex Magala and Pastor Mark Driscoll to the church's Stronger Men's Conference after a firestorm erupted over Driscoll's controversial rebuke of Magala's performance as demonic. And then there's a quotation. He says, "Let me just say this about the events of this past week. I want to say two things. First of all, I want to thank you for your overwhelming response on Wednesday night. What happened was both biblical and necessary, and the Lord was present, and for that we are grateful," Lindell said during James River Church's Sunday night service broadcast on Facebook, which is no longer available. You can listen to the sermon here. At the same time, the quote goes on, "I want to be clear. I want to apologize and let you know I take full responsibility for the decision that was made to invite Mark Driscoll and Alex Magala to the Stronger Men's Conference," he explained. "I am deeply saddened by the division that our invitation has brought to the body of Christ. That was never our intent. The Stronger Men's Conference is about reaching men for Jesus Christ, and it will continue to be about reaching men for Jesus Christ." And so
that's interesting.
Yeah. And so Yeah, and so, yeah, and the article goes on to have pictures of this and of Mark Driscoll, and yeah, so that's kind of where it's ended up. And actually, this is actually, there was one point that happened before this, is that after the kiss and make up thing, there was actually another incident between them both through social media where they were fighting again, Lindell and Driscoll, and then this article came out. So, so that's kind of where the whole situation landed. And so there's obviously a lot to pick through here.
See, this kind of chaos happens right when you stray from the word.
Stray from the word, man.
This is what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. It's really hard to pinpoint any one particular person to blame for all of this, because it seems like everyone's to blame for all of it.
Right.
It's like,
it is.
You know, I want to be fair to Alex Magala here.
Yeah, of course.
Because, you know, as we approach this from the outside,
right,
with the information that we have,
right,
I want to be fair to Alex here, because he seems to have kind of been kind of caught in this weird crossfire,
right,
of like, obviously he's, look, the setting in which he performed was probably not right for him.
No.
This was not a setting that I think he should have been performing in.
Not at all.
And I think he could, now looking back on it, probably, I don't want to speak for him, but I think he could probably say that that was probably a mistake on his part to perform in that setting.
Yes.
But, you know, I know there was a thing here where he was trying to defend the performance as, oh, it's not a stripper pole, it's a Chinese pole, I think he said it was.
Yeah.
You know, I know that he had a past as a go-go dancer.
Right.
Which he'll, you know, I think he even tried to defend, you know, it wasn't, that. I was like, okay, well, go-go dancing is a sexually charged performance.
It is, no matter how you
cut
it.
That's the very definition of go-go dancing.
Right.
It's not a lot of clothing, and you're moving sexually. And
right.
That's what go-go dancing
is. That's what it is, right.
So we need to call that out for what it is.
Yes.
He may agree or disagree with that. If he ever, in the one in a billion chance he hears this.
Right.
You know, I just think, and I think he said he might even be at, what did he say? Mm. He goes to a church in Los Angeles, a non-denominational church.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think in his mind, he is thinking that that kind of performance is okay.
Right.
For that particular setting.
Mm.
But anytime you're introducing sexually charged movements into dancing in a Christian setting,
right,
I'm putting quote fingers in the air.
Yeah.
Man, you're just inviting trouble.
Well, I think
you're just inviting trouble.
100%.
I'm sorry, you know, the performance aspect of it is one thing, okay?
Right.
But we have to call the facts what they are.
Right.
He was at a men's, supposedly, Bible conference, performing shirtless, climbing a pole, and swallowing swords in a provocative manner.
Exactly. That's what it was.
That is what it is. That's just what happened.
Yep.
Okay? That's not an opinion. That's just what happened, right?
That's right.
So that in and of itself was probably not the right move for him. And I think he needs to understand that.
Yeah. Especially now, if he's going to claim to be a Christian man.
Yes, exactly.
Which he does.
He does. Right. He does. So there might need to be some rethinking about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not going to be the guy to say, you know, I'm calling you out.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I mean, just look at what happened.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look at the firestorm it started. Even amongst a group that, like I said before, I wouldn't necessarily consider a very biblically founded conference. You know what I mean? Like,
It's interesting because Driscoll obviously claimed that it was erotic pole dancing. That was like his quote, right?
Right, right.
And the church actually fought back against that statement, saying at the end of this article, there's another church leader's article here where it says it's Alex Magala addresses accusation. He is a quote stripper. James River Church says they didn't know. That's the headline.
By
Jesse T. Jackson from April 19th.
Right.
All right. So at the very end, the church put out a quote saying that we do not agree with Mark Driscoll equating the Chinese pole acrobatics at the Stronger Men's Conference with erotic pole dancing.
Okay.
Particularly the manner in which he did so. We are thankful for the influence of Mosaic. So basically they're backing Alex.
Yeah, Alex on this. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if I agree with that, no. saying that Chinese pole acrobatics are not, I mean, there is a element, if you look at the video, there are definitely elements of eroticism to it.
It definitely.
I don't know how you can sit there and say that it's not, quote unquote, erotic in some way. I just, man, it's just like, feel the room, man.
I know. Like, and it's like, well, it's
I don't understand how a church could even think about inviting an entertainment, again, quote finger in the air,
right.
an entertainment act like that to a men's Bible conference. I don't understand what the motivation behind that is.
I mean, no matter what the conference is, but especially a men's conference.
And even for entertainment's sake.
Right.
What makes you think that seeing that is going to be entertaining for a man?
I know, like, I don't want to see that. You know what I mean?
I don't understand. But it's just the wrong setting, man. This is definitely a feel the room thing.
Yes.
And
that's a good way to put it.
They got called out for that, which they should have been.
Yep.
If you're going to perform that's like a Vegas show. That's not a church show.
It's not nothing that should happen in the context of
Chinese
a Christian
pole or erotic pole or whatever pole you want to call it.
Right.
It doesn't matter. It was erotic in its nature.
Right.
And you know, you're performing shirtless, licking and swallowing swords. Guys,
listen, I don't get it. I don't understand how anybody. This is the thing that's amazing to me, because oftentimes I'm thinking about this as a church leader. You're an elder, you know what I mean? Like, we go through every time that we meet as elders, the very first thing that we go through is what? You know, how did last week go? How did the service go? How, you know what I mean? Is there any issues?
Any issues, yeah.
Any you know, open criticism of my sermons or anything like that? So, like, there's accountability, in other words. Like, how then, exactly...
That's the key word there.
How then did this get past the leadership of
I'll tell you how. Because there is no leadership.
That's
there.
It.
And because one guy is probably making the decision.
That's exactly it.
Because if you get I cannot imagine a scenario in which you have a group of men, or who knows, maybe women too.
Maybe women too, who knows.
Which is another issue.
Yep.
Any group of people in a room saying, hey guys, I got an idea. For the men's conference.
Right.
Let's get a guy, a shirtless guy.
Former stripper, you know what I mean?
To dance around on a pole and swallow swords. Oh, right. Okay. Sounds great. Approved.
Like, oh, yes.
That's,
yeah.
That's just absurd to me.
It's absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Any group of people would probably, there'd be that one guy saying, guys.
You might want to think about this.
I don't think that's a good idea. one guy at least should be saying this.
Right.
This is for sure. And look, I don't know their leadership structure.
Right, of course, yeah.
I suspect it's probably just one guy, probably
Lindell.
Name? Lindell.
Lindell, yeah.
Probably just making the decision
unilaterally, right, yeah.
And then just not thinking about it, say, oh, this looks fun.
Oh, so cool, yeah.
Know, we'll definitely get people
sword
in here for
that. Swords swallowing it. Because, like, you can almost see it. Well, this is a manly thing. He's taking a sword and he's, you know, and, you know, yeah. And it's like...
Yeah. Well, your definition of manly is a little different than mine.
It is, you know, it is. And
men don't...
Yeah, you know, especially
it
like...
It is a basic, fundamental division on the agreement of what is manly and what's not.
Right.
It is a absurd vision of what is manly.
It is, and 100%.
That's kind of what... bothers me most about this is just it was just so unnecessary,
you know, and a distraction.
It's
and
like,
it's like, yeah,
okay, here's an analogy for you.
Yeah.
Do you like cake?
Of course.
I mean, who doesn't like cake, right?
Of course. I love cake.
Now,
yeah,
one of the basic tenets of baking cake is that it's a balance between the cake, the meat in the cake,
the
actual bread part, and frosting.
And frosting, right.
Now,
exactly.
If you have a cake with not enough frosting.
Oh, yeah. No.
I mean, who likes that?
No, that's not good
now,
at all.
Now, here's a question for you.
Right.
What happens when you have a cake with too much frosting?
Yeah.
That's bad, too, right?
It's bad, too. It's you know, just disgusting.
There's,
you know what I mean? Yeah.
There has to be a balance with cake.
Right.
So, like, I understand the being entertained thing.
Of course.
But when your cake is all frosting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's not good.
You leave it on the plate, right?
That's right. You leave it there, and it's like, eh, you know, yeah, you know.
It's too much.
That's a great analogy. It really is.
Because what they're doing here is they're just giving them frosting.
That's it.
There's no cake.
There's nothing of God's word. There's nothing of substance
too
here.
Too much frosting will make you sick.
Exactly. And, yeah.
That's what's going on here, I think, is because they're so concerned with the frosting that they're forgetting about the cake.
And that's the thing, is being so, I mean, we talked about secret sensitive, you know what I mean? Like, that's
the whole basis of secret sensitive.
It's all frosting. And again, as I said before, this is the reason why we should utterly reject in our churches the whole secret sensitive movement in and of itself completely. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that we don't do outreach activities that might pertain to our particular communities.
Right. Outreach is different.
Exactly.
Than seeker sensitive,
right?
What would be the other term for that? I guess when you're, it's different than entertainment.
Entertainment, right. Whereas, like, and because we have to understand,
whatever you want to call it,
because we have to understand that the worship service is primarily for the Christian. Okay, you know, when we come together here on Sunday morning, I am not here primarily to evangelize the lost. Okay, when I stand behind the pulpit and I preach God's word, this is for you as one of my people. This is for those who are in my congregation. Do I have a general gospel call to people to come to Jesus Christ? Yeah, but and again, we're getting into, you know, a couple different things here. But the thing is, this is when it becomes all about the seeker. Okay, and it becomes all about, you know, quote unquote evangelism, and the numbers, which is a whole nother issue. You know what I mean? The numerics of this and how many people that I can get, which ultimately is the ultimate goal. Mm-hmm. It's not even so much, especially for a men's conference like this. The ultimate goal of a men's conference like this is not even so much to, you know, see people come to Christ. That might be part of it, mm-hmm. in their mind anyway. But it's to get as many people in the seats as possible. That's what it is. It's to sell something. It's an entertainment thing. Not just as good as, you know, going to see Macho Man and Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? At WWE. And I'd rather go to that because it's better entertainment, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, but the problem is it's like, you know, but that's the issue, is like when we start integrating these kind of things into the life of the church, you know, ultimately what's going to happen is that we're going to water down the gospel at best, or ignore the gospel at worst. And I think that that's really, and even in this situation, let me give them the benefit of the doubt. Again, not knowing completely what their theology is here, they claim to be Christians and everything else. Okay, let's just say that their goal was in earnest to preach the gospel and to see people, men in this particular case, get saved. What, to any seekers that are there, what are they going to remember about this conference? Are they going to remember the gospel of Jesus? Are they? Are they really? Or are they going to remember the pole dancer and the rebuke? You know what I mean? And from the crazy Mark Driscoll. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my question is,
it ultimately just served as a distraction.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about it. You know, the world is talking about it right now. And how is that
How does that put forward the name of God in a positive light?
It doesn't. That's the answer.
It doesn't.
Mm.
It doesn't.
It's the reason why we need to keep it to the gospel.
Mistakes all around.
Exactly. And this is the problem with this entertainment culture in the life of the church. You know, I mean, yeah, we can go down a lot of different rabbit holes with this.
I was going to say, that was my next question for you, because I think we can put this particular story in the rearview mirror, because I think we've said what we need to say.
Right.
But I wanted to ask you, as a pastor, and I can probably answer this a little bit as a youth leader, too, because I think there are elements of this in youth ministry, too.
Yeah.
What is the temptation for you to introduce entertainment aspects into ministry? Because I get the temptation.
Oh, yeah.
I do, especially for kids.
Oh, yeah.
You want to be like, oh, let's bring them in with fun stuff and,
Lego racing. Well,
and all
right.
By the way, there's gospel elements to all of that.
Right.
So, I guess my question is: Do you feel the pull of that sometimes?
Oh yeah,
as a pastor.
Oh
and,
yeah.
And how do you analyze that kind of thing when it comes to you? Because like, you almost have to have on these like gospel glasses,
right?
To kind of see like, okay, what's the benefit of this for the gospel?
Right.
And sometimes people just don't and just do it and not care about it or forget about it.
Right.
I guess as a pastor, what's that like for you?
Well, I think the biggest temptation is, you know, is when we, like you say, getting sidelined from what is most important. First and foremost, every Christian, the most important thing for us should be the glory of God. Everything that we do is for the glory of God.
1 Corinthians 10:31.
Exactly.
Yep.
So we have to go into it thinking to myself, is what I'm going to do
whether it's ministry or just what I do in general throughout my day, is it for the glory of God? And that's especially true in the life of the local church. So what will glorify God the most in the life of the church? And so to answer your question, though, I mean, in regard to the temptation, when we get our eyes off of the glory of God and we get it onto other things, like, say, the temptation for a small church pastor like myself, who, you know, we run a little over 100 people on Sunday morning, you know, 115, 120 people, not a huge church, is to be concerned about numbers and money, okay? Mm-hmm. To make that the goal. Because every preacher, you know, you talk to wants a full church, you know what I mean? You want to have all those pews filled deep down in your heart of hearts if you want to, whatever. And, you know, you want to be able to do as much ministry for the glory of God as possible and to as many people as possible. You want that privilege. Right. But the problem is how do you attain that? And so the appeal of the entertainment culture, the appeal of the seeker-sensitive movement that we're talking about is based upon that desire, oftentimes a good desire, to get more people in, okay, to hear the gospel. But the problem with that is that, again, as I said earlier, what you draw them with is what you need to keep them with, okay, oftentimes. And so,
or else
they lose interest. So, right. So the thing is this, is, and so the temptation is there to do all of these activities, to do all these, dare I say, worldly activities, in order, you know, and entertainment-focused kind of things, in order to get as many people as possible, look at the numbers and say it was a success because a lot of people showed up, mm-hmm. And mark that as the true measure of our ministry.
The numbers become the determining factor of success.
Exactly.
Okay.
And you can get a lot more people if you entertain them. That's just the way that it rolls. I mean, you give them... you give them, you know, massive entertainment. You have a massive entertainment budget, a big building with theatrics and a good band on Sunday morning. I'm just talking about the worship service. Fog machine, all this stuff. You're going to get people. You're going to get people. Yeah, you're going to get people who call themselves Christians or, you know, and think that that is what biblical Christianity is all about. But to do things God's way, okay, just like Jesus. Jesus drew a whole bunch of people to himself. How? Well, when he started feeding them, you know what I mean? When he started performing miracles.
He started healing them, yeah.
And healing them and giving them, you know, all of these different things. But when all of a sudden he opened God's word, Jesus, and started preaching the gospel to them.
You started seeing real quick who the real followers were.
They all left. And so what did Jesus even turn to? He was only left with the 12, and he turns to them and says, you know, are you guys going to turn away as well? And what did Peter say? No, Lord, you have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. And so the fact is that in order to combat this mentality, as a pastor, you need to get beyond the numbers trap, okay? You cannot measure success by numbers. You cannot, okay? Mm. If God sees fit to bring people to you, praise God, and you should take the responsibility as much as you can to be able to mentor and shepherd those people, because the numbers will grow if you do those things. It will. But to answer your question, the temptation is always there. But the temptation to, you know, placate or allow the entertainment to become the centerpiece and not the gospel is there because that idol, I would call it, of numbers and the at least outward success of numbers, the outward appearance of numbers. Is so appealing because you want others to give you a pat on the back and tell you, hey, pastor, good job. You brought in 200 kids to your summer activity or whatever it is, and it's like, oh yeah, it was a real success because of that. But we didn't preach the gospel at all.
Is it truly a success then?
And that's where it is. So it's not.
Yeah.
And so gospel ministry in and of itself, pure gospel ministry, and even when you inject gospel ministry, and I think that this is where you're going with it, into some of these more seeker evangelistic ministries, when you inject the gospel into that, you're necessarily going to have people walk away. It's going to happen. If you make it very clear that the focus of this particular event is not the Lego car night, you know what I mean? Or, you know, which is, by the way, we just did that, which is an awesome event.
Yeah, the first thing that came to mind, but we preach the gospel there.
Right.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever other evangelistic events that we do for either youth or the church, you're not going to have as big of a crowd. It's just the way that it's going to roll. And you got to be good with that, you know, as a pastor. And by the way, I was just having this conversation with one of our former elders, Randy. You know, this morning I had breakfast with him. And we were talking about, you know, what kind of got off on the topic of if the Lord saw fit to increase our numbers, you know what I mean? Like as a church, like majorly, let's say that every pew, I mean, we probably fit what, 250 people in our
close
sanctuary.
To three.
Yeah,
if
probably
you close packed to three. Every seat,
if we packed every seat, butt to gut, we would have probably about 300 people. Yeah. Let's say that all of a sudden happened. And would our attitude change if, as a church family, if all of a sudden we had a gigantic increase, would we lose the humility that we have now? Hmm. Would we pat ourselves on the back and say, "Oh, now we are a success"? Hmm. When were we really more of a success? Maybe when we didn't have that many people. You know what I mean? Because
that's interesting.
You get what I'm saying? It was a really interesting conversation. And so I don't know if I've answered your question, Brother Adam.
It would be certainly a blessing to have that many people.
It would be.
But
it's a privilege.
Man, but you're right. We would really, as leaders, have to keep ourselves in check.
Oh, yeah.
As far as like, oh, look what we did versus look what God did.
Because
that would have to be, we would have to be really intentional about keeping that the focus.
Oh, very much.
And reminding each other constantly, like, this is God at work, not us.
It is the Lord. Right. It has to be God.
Yeah, there is a level of humility there that would need to be kept in check.
Right.
For sure.
Right. And I think, though, and that's the thing, is... This is the cool part about doing ministry the way that we do, where the emphasis is, yes, we do some of these entertaining things in order, if you want to call it entertainment, seeker. Mm-hmm. So like, for instance, you know, as, you know, for, we use the Lego thing, but in our church, we do other things in our church, you know what I mean?
Sure.
We do Vacation Bible School, fun week for kids.
Great week.
I mean, just...
Entertaining.
Entertaining week. We make it entertaining on purpose, you know what I mean?
But... What's the key?
What's the key? Is the gospel preached every single night?
Yes.
Yes. Are Bible verses and is the Bible opened every single night at that thing? Yes. Constantly.
Constantly.
VBS
is not VBS without the B.
That's right. Exactly. And it's the same thing with other ministries that we do. We're going to be doing in our area. You know, we're in a more wooded area here. You know what I mean? We're a lot of hunters and stuff like that.
Yep.
We're going to be bringing back our wild game dinner this year. So is it just about getting a bunch of guys together and kind of like a men's conference,
mm-hmm.
Although ladies are invited to that too, having a meal, you know, with some crazy crocodile and all that stuff, it kind of cool, you know what I mean?
Beaver pot pie,
squirrel, the deep fried squirrel the one year, you know what I mean? Which was
a little gamey.
It was real gamey. It wasn't good, you know what I mean? It was
effort.
It was
good effort.
It was good. You know what I mean? It was good effort, but I mean, but if it's all about that,
right.
The entertainment, the food,
the giveaways, the prizes,
all that stuff, then we've missed the mark. We're nothing but a country club,
right.
You know? And I get the vibe with this kind of, you know, I mean, not to be whatever, but anyway,
I wonder, and I guess this is my last question, going back one last time to the Stronger Muscle,
right.
And then we'll get out
of
here.
Yeah. No, sorry. I was just looking over here because buzzing.
I wonder what kind of preaching was done at that conference.
It would be interesting to look that up.
I have to wonder, because after that kind of, it's obvious that the preaching wasn't the focus.
No.
But
clearly the entertainment was the focus here.
It seems like it, right?
And even if that wasn't the intended purpose, this is the problem. It ended up being it.
Yeah.
And also I would consider it a detriment to Christ, which is ultimately why we need to reject it. Ultimately, have some of it in your particular context, okay? Like, for instance, a men's conference, okay? I don't have even a problem at a men's conference with having, like, more entertaining things at these kind of things, because that's what men do, okay? We want to, you know, we had a testimony of one gentleman that joined our church a couple weeks ago where what brought him to Christ was they had these special men's nights. They called them big boy nights,
mm-hmm.
where they, you know, got together and they had a, you know, manly meal and they threw axe, you know, like the axe throwing,
of course,
and all that stuff. And,
yeah.
you know, manly things that men do. But
Which is fine.
But they also had a time where the gospel was shared, where they sat down and opened up the Word of God. Yeah. And I think that needs to be the priority in all things. It's not that the church, because again, I think here's the problem that I have with a lot of folks kind of in our camp, more reformed, is that we kind of go to one extreme to the other. We pendulum swing. Is that we see something like the Stronger Men's Conference, and we see the problem with the entertainment culture, and we see, you know, the lack of focus on the gospel, and say we say no, we don't do any of those things whatsoever.
Yeah,
we don't do anything entertainment. It's all about the Bible, and we never ever we just come to church with our suit and tie, and that's all that we do. And I think that's an extreme problem too.
That's an extreme reaction.
Yeah, you know, and you end up becoming your little Baptist bubble. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You need to do things that are going to outreach to the world. You know what I mean? We need to be evangelical. You know what I mean? We need to be sharing the gospel. I mean, purposefully. I mean, if we're going to be obedient to the Lord. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we can't become so focused. And this gets on to another subject, which maybe we can cover another time, is the importance of evangelism.
Yeah.
How what is the degree of importance in the life of the church of evangelism? Mm. Because oftentimes evangelism becomes the key focus of a local church as opposed to other things, like the edification of the saints. That is just as important, if not more so, I would argue, than sharing the gospel. I think that they're equal, of course. You know what I mean?
To have one, have the other,
right?
Yeah, or you have to have the edification to have the.
Yeah, you have to have
to increase the productiveness of the evangelism. I would think.
Right.
You have to know what you're talking about.
Right. You need to have edified, sanctified, mature, meat-eating believers. Okay.
Well put. Yeah.
You know, not milk, not milk drinkers. You know what I mean? There's a place for the milk, and we should welcome the milk drinkers. You know what I mean? We need them to, you know, but
that's where it starts. But where everyone starts.
But we need the meat eaters. Yeah. You know what I mean? In the church to grow up, and those meat eaters will eventually grow. I know I keep calling them meat eaters, but
metaphorically speaking,
it's kind of a cool analogy. It's a biblical analogy.
It is biblical analogy. Yeah.
And but you need those meat eating Christians, those mature Christians, to grow up and share the gospel. Because the truth of the matter is, and here's, you know, kind of where I go with it, is that, you know, I mean, like, as far as this kind of thing is concerned, I would argue that true evangelism, even if the purpose of this men's conference, which, as we read before, I think part of it was, he even said this is Lindell speaking, he said, the Stronger Men's Conference is about reaching men for Jesus Christ. That's what he said. That's a quotation. And it will continue to be about reaching men for Jesus Christ. So obviously the focus is on evangelism, okay? And Well, I would argue
that's what they say.
That's what they say anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll take him at his word.
Sure. For the sake of the argument, yeah.
And so are we. We're about reaching people for Jesus Christ, but we need to do so in the right ways. And honestly, I think that evangelism, true evangelism, doesn't take place so much corporately as it does individually. It's about individual Christians sharing the gospelicious word. People, right? And meaning that, you know, true evangelism doesn't take place in a crowd with entertainment, and, you know, whether it's a sword stripper or you know, guys ride motorcycles in, you know what I mean? And like, I heard of pastors that would do that. They rode motorcycles into their sanctuaries and stuff like that to make an object lesson. It's like, no, don't do that, dude. Just preach the word. You know, I mean, like, that was a big thing, like, in the early 2000s. And, you know, it's so antiquated now. But anyway, but it doesn't happen
cringe.
In the context. It's cringe. Where evangelism begins and ends, I believe, is one-on-one. Where the relationships that you have with the lost, you develop them, and you pray to God for two things. You pray, number one, that God gives you opportunities to share Jesus Christ with them, and you pray that you probably pray for three things, that when he gives you an opportunity, that you take it.
Because he will.
If you pray for it, he'll answer that prayer. And number three, he'll give you more opportunities to share the gospel than what you have, you know what I mean, than what you can think.
Yeah.
But number three, pray that God gives the increase, that God actually saves their soul through your gospel. That's the most effective means of evangelism, is one-on-one personal evangelism. And by the way, I would encourage you too, you know, you're listening to this, don't be afraid in your evangelistic efforts to invite people to church, especially if you have a good gospel preaching church that isn't concerned about entertainment. They're about the Word of God. They're about the gospel. Invite them to church. Get them connected with your pastor. Get them connected with the people in that church, and you know, share the gospel with them. You know what I mean? That's what it is. Don't be about the entertainment of the church. And pastors, I don't know if any pastors are going to listen to this or anything like that. Drop the shtick. You know, that's what I would say. You know, just drop the shtick. You know, yeah, do some of these outreach events. But you better make sure that those outreach events that you have are all about Jesus Christ and the gospel. You know, you're going to do, we do a vacation Bible school every night. It's all about the gospel. You're going to do, whatever it might be. You know what I mean? It might be a summer camp ministry, for the community. Every day, the gospel should be shared. Every single day, not just one day where it's kind of a pithy little thing. It should be shared every single day that God gives you.
What a wasted opportunity if you don't.
Yeah. Wasted opportunity.
A wasted opportunity.
You'll get a lot of people coming to it. If you give them what they want, you give them something that a consumer wants, you'll get a ton of people there. And if God blesses you in that way, share the gospel. Every dime, every day that God gives. Because by the way, and I was talking about this a couple weeks ago in one of my sermons from Revelation. We're not guaranteed tomorrow, not to be depressive, but today might be the last day you get to share Jesus Christ with that person.
Truth.
And truth. So we got to get out there with urgency and share Jesus with them. But anyways.
I think that's a...
That's a nice bow.
Good bow, brother. Good bow.
Amen. Good to be back.
Yes. Guys, Amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is a pleasure to be back after this short little break here. But guys, find us on YouTube. Find us on Sermon Audio. Sermon Audio, of course, is the semi-exclusive home of Gospelicious Radio.
Yes.
Connect with us. Engage with us. All the links that you need to do so are in our link tree. Our link tree is in the description below.
Yes.
All right. So, guys, it's time for us to go. Thank you for joining us for GR84, for Pastor Tim Howard.
Happy painting, and God bless, my friends.
I'm Adam Miner. We'll see you next time. See ya.
Right, bye, everybody.
Bye.